Lucas, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk about this summit. This is something that I'm sure a lot of people are very excited about. We've seen since the election an enormous national effort that is sometimes called the resistance movement, sometimes called the indivisible movement. It's called a lot of different things, but you're trying to not just get people together who want to protest, but to give them tools to make change, to actually take their concerns about where the nation is going and put things into action.
Yeah, that's actually a really great description of what we're trying to do. This is actually our second progressive summit that we've held this year. We held one earlier in the year in January in Albuquerque. It sold out and then oversold. We just had a ton of support for it and a ton of interest.
And want to talk about some of the specific areas where we can make change. And I think probably for a lot of people listening, one of the first things that comes to mind is getting people registered to vote and then getting them out there and getting them to vote. So
Absolutely.
This is very important, and it's part of your summit.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have a specific panel on voting culture that's going to be led by Doniana County Clerk Scott Kraling. And he's really done a great job since he was elected of doing that. And even before that, when he was the deputy county clerk, that office has really done a great job in this county registering 17-year-olds that are going to be eligible to vote by the primary or by the general election, working in high schools. Civics is something that used to be taught in our schools across the country. And without that being as part of the curriculum, having groups like the county clerk and then other, activist groups go out and help people, and not just young people. There's a lot of folks that just haven't been involved that now are interested. And so for them to have an opportunity to learn how, voting works, how being registered works, how to become a voting registration agent, all those things, it's an extremely powerful tool.
Yeah. And as a point of disclosure, I should mention I'm a member of the Election Advisory Committee for Doniana County, a nonpartisan group of folks just trying to get people registered, getting them out there to vote, the importance of which, we can't just overstate this. It's so incredibly important. You look at the presidential election, and we often hear the term, we hear about the fact that, of course, Hillary Clinton had over 3 million more votes. But what we don't often hear is the other number, that there were just thousands of votes that gave Donald Trump the ability to win the Electoral College in three states, in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And it emphasizes how every vote counts.
That's absolutely right. And in national politics, it can certainly sometimes feel like your votes get sort of swallowed up by that Electoral College. But understanding how that system works, I think, should encourage people to stay involved. Slightly more locally, in our congressional district, something that's interesting is that we've had a Republican in the office for Congress for, a decade or more. But if you look at the numbers, Democrats are registered almost 2-1 against Republicans in the entire district. But when it comes to actually getting out the vote, we've always seen, a drop-off. So this summit and this panel specifically are hoping to address some of those concerns and make sure that, once you're registered to vote, that you get out the vote. You also encourage, your family, your friends, help out where you can and actually, get it done.
And speaking of the congressional race, we have four folks who say that they're running for the Democratic nomination. None of them have held public office before. Another part of your summit is candidate training, recruiting candidates and then training them.
That's absolutely right. Working within this community for so long and across the state, there are a lot of really incredible leaders out there in their communities. And giving them the tools that they need to take their sort of citizen activism and turn it into actual civic engagement by running for an office is a key part of democracy in general. And especially for us on the progressive side of things, getting people who are educated about the issues into places of power is extremely important.
You know, another big issue in the state of New Mexico, it really, unfortunately, some people would say, didn't gain any traction in the last legislative session, was the legalization of recreational marijuana. Representative Bill McCamley has been a big proponent of this. He is going to be talking about this at the summit. And it's something that I think a lot of people are really getting behind for a lot of different reasons, right?
Absolutely. Representative McCamley's vision has almost always, from my understanding, been an economic one, that that there's a lot of revenue to be derived from the legalization of cannabis. And whether, you know, he's tried to do it the most democratic way in terms of having it become a bill that passes through the House and then is signed by the governor. We're also going to have representatives from the Drug Policy Alliance who have worked in other states on some of the direct like amendments where the people would have a chance to vote on it. So we're going to have sort of different perspectives on that too, which is great.
Okay. Well, reproductive justice issues are also part of the discussion. A lot of concern about this.
Absolutely. You know, last year we saw the Supreme Court ruled against the state of Texas on some of the restrictive rules that they had put in place about abortion clinics. And but before that, we had seen a lot of folks from Texas having to come into New Mexico to seek reproductive options because of those closures in Texas. And so since then, we've done a lot of work with groups around the state to try to ensure that those options remain totally viable for both men and women across the state of New Mexico.
Another topic, we've talked about this before on KRWG with local folks. We've talked about it with even NPR's Melissa Block. Fake news. And of course, President Trump, he accuses the media of fake news. He I think, has used the term this recently, fake media. I'm not really sure what that means. But but anyway, this is another thing that you're going to be talking about at the summit. And, you know, we laugh about it, but it really, it's very serious that there are a lot of people who see things online, especially and particularly in social media, and they don't check out the source. They
Correct.
Don't really. They don't really. You know, if we're talking about fake news, they don't really see that. And there's no doubt in a lot of people's minds this had a big effect on the election.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, Progress Now is primarily a communications company. That's what we do with nonprofits, and so we take pride in everything we publish has, you know, links to sources, is well researched. And it's a big part of my life, and it's a big part of how I think democracy moves forward is when people are well educated and they have, again, those tools to sort of weed out what is real and what is quote unquote fake.
Yeah, and you know what really strikes me, Lucas, that that I've noticed lately about this that I find extremely interesting is, when we talk about social media, this is becoming for Americans. Pew is researches this every year, and they have found that it's an enormous source of news for people. And what's very concerning to me is this isn't just about, you know, links that people share, but, you know, on your Facebook feed. For those folks who are listening who use Facebook, I've started kind of examining this more closely as a content director. And this past week, I've noticed repeatedly in my Facebook feed, paid advertising. I'm glad it's disclosed that it's paid, but paid advertising that is absolutely false. You know, unequivocally false. And the example that I will give you, I'm sure you've seen this, is a group that associates itself with veterans accusing our Secretary of State as being against free speech because of the fact, not disclosed in the ad, that she is for campaign finance disclosure. The notion in this group's narrative that if you disclose who is giving money, that that's somehow fighting free speech.
Right.
And this is deeply concerning, because for people who see that and don't understand what the heck this is about, that could be, you know, devastating in terms of our understanding of public policy and how people, you know, how our candidates really represent issues. It's very, very strange stuff.
Sure. And I think that, you know, oftentimes, you know, on social media, one of the bigger things that I see is even just sort of contextual evidence that you can say something is factually true, and it may in fact be factually true. However, without the context in which it was said, without the context in which it is attempting to shed light onto, it could in fact reinforce 100% the other side of the fact. And so that's something that we really aim to try to clarify when we work on things and we release a story or are tracking down something political, is to put everything into context so that our readers and our members have a better understanding of what that means and can be more engaged in the political process.
You know, I wanted to get your opinion, because you work in communications for Progress Now New Mexico, on something else related to this notion of journalism and our role in public policy and debate. I saw another thing this week on Facebook, that there was some debate over, is there too much attention on the role of the media? And some people say yes, because it's drowning out issues like healthcare and other issues. But other folks say, well, wait a minute, this is really important, so we do have to raise awareness and talk about this. Where do you stand on this?
That's actually a really great question. I think that one of the things that I can sort of attest to on a personal level is in our community here in Las Cruces, we've seen, unfortunately, sort of a drop-off in local media coverage. And no, it's not necessarily anybody's fault per se, but I know for a fact that, you know, here at KRWG, you know, you're down a couple reporters. The Sun News recently had a lot of people let go.
And we're looking for a reporter.
Absolutely.
For anyone listening, please apply.
And but when you have a community that doesn't have access to information about what's happening, it sort of then falls on the community to inform itself about those kinds of things. And I think what's interesting is when you look at some of the most utilized Facebook pages, and this is not just true in Las Cruces, it's true all around the country and around the world, is that they are often community pages where, you know, in Las Cruces, there's one Las Cruces Community Watch, and people post all kinds of things, you know, lost dogs and, you know, hey, does anybody know what that smoke is from? And, be careful of this intersection. There was a wreck.
And we notice on our website, our local viewpoint section, which you have contributed
Absolutely.
To, those are sometimes the most active posts of the week or
yeah.
even the months. And we had one that was 400,000 unique views that was submitted by the National Education Association. So people want that content. They know, and that's one of the reasons why we have that. And for anyone listening, you can send it to us, feedback at nmsu.edu, because we love that dialogue.
Right. And so then, to address the sort of deeper question you were asking, I think that the concept of media and the sort of emphasis on it is that traditionally media has been that, you know, that fourth estate that exists to sort of report back to people who otherwise didn't know. And we're in a sort of a new, brave new world to some degree, where now people are bombarded by information constantly. And so the role of media is changing, and I think it's totally worth having a discussion about it at the same level as some other, you know, concepts and important things like healthcare, because, again, this all kind of ties together. If you don't have, you know, good sources for the information about healthcare, how can anybody make informed decisions on how to vote on something like that?
Absolutely. It is a balance, and we're glad that you shared information about this summit today. Lucas Herndon is the communications manager for Progress Now New Mexico. You can find more information at progressnownm.org. Lucas, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks. I hope to see everybody at the summit.